created a cold, a little silly weird towel, and the ground out there with the farmers, and it's 25 years after we're celebrating the 25th anniversary. If you get a chance before you leave, you want to grab one of these little flyers that commemorates the 25th anniversary of this entire facility here, the Ag History Museum, which is kind of a subcomponent of the fairgrounds itself. And also,
barbecue night.
Oh yeah, the barbecue night. Did that sell out yet? Or
still tickets? Almost. There's a few tickets left.
Okay. Tonight, if you have the time and there's still tickets left, we're going to be having a fundraising concert in the barn again, right down below. None other but Andrew McLean and Trailer Park Troubadours will be the headliner, the only band really. Don't fret.
Thank you.
So if anybody's already worried about the noise issues, it's a truth. Okay. And there's in there the dinner as well for $30, probably the best deal in town. So check with Lynn here after the meeting if you're interested in that. And then if you have businesses or offices and you haven't received and got posted yet your official fair poster, then by all means, grab one here that's available to pick up. Okay. Any other last minute questions? Okay. So we're going to go straight into a roundtable discussion of current issues affecting the surrounding neighbors. And not to make this a free-for-all, what we'd like to do is have you, maybe raise your hand, introduce yourself, give a general geographic area, location where you're at surrounding, in the surrounding area here. And just for, a brief minute or two, give us, a quick synopsis of what you perceive as a current issue affecting at least your property. So does anybody want to kick that off? And state your name, please.
My name is Max Kelly.
I think the board has already heard enough from me now, but I wanted to introduce myself. And my wife and I live about a third of a mile as a crow flies from this location, about a half a mile from the farmer's market, and even closer to where rodeos are planned, perhaps in the future. I did want to thank Michael Bethy for setting up this meeting. He was instrumental in getting the time and the dates and everything down, so appreciate that.
Thank you.
I sent around a petition that has some specifics on it as far as the noise issues are concerned. So hopefully you'll read it and sign it. I know I have limited time, and a lot of people have things to say. And Michael did indicate he wasn't interested so much in history, but one of the things that has spurred us to action is the fact that historically we haven't been listened to. And so from that standpoint, it becomes important that, especially in view of the expansion of the races, which has was averaged about 26 or 27 races before 2000, and when the issue came up to expand the number of races to an additional 11 per year, that was squelched by neighborhood concerns. And so the fairgrounds agreed not to do that. Now we have 37 races per year.
I think one more than that.
It's possible. I was counting using the schedule online. So I said 37. And that's how many were scheduled that I read. But regardless, it has increased to the amount that the fairgrounds agreed to 10 years ago not to do. So from that standpoint, it does become important. We're getting into the point where the fair board is going to determine expansion plans for the next 10, 20 years, like the flyer said. So this meeting is really important, because if we don't speak up, they're going to go ahead assuming that, whatever they do is okay. So the input that we give is really important. So just to wrap it up for now, talk is cheap. So my point is basically that regardless of what is said today, if we don't follow up on conclusions or follow up on potential promises or plans by the fairgrounds, we're just going to get what we get what they give us. So anyway, that's what I say for now. Thanks.
Who's next?
Yes, sir.
I wanted to just, if you don't mind, sir, just
my name is Sam Wright. I live at 565 in the building in Molasses.
Okay.
And I don't want to stand up here and be contentious. I'm not here to complain about any specific issues. I'm really interested in maybe a baseline approach to this and trying to understand what your mission statement is. I know we're going to be talking about the master plan, but if you, the agriculture district, because it's a sub-function of the state of California, derives certain of its authority from the state. Consequently, because of the sovereign power of the state, you're exempt from certain local control. So what I'm interested in knowing is, from an overarching standpoint, what do you see as the parameters and the constraints as far as your delegated rights or authorities that you derive from the state? What can you do? Not is it appropriate. In other words, I'm not asking whether it's appropriate you have a farmer's market with amplified sound, or whether you have a speedway, or whether you have a rodeo. But in fact, is that implicit in your authority? You have the right to do that. What rights do you have, okay? Because I think it needs to start there. We can complain or not complain about all sorts of things, but I think the overarching issue is what in fact are you empowered to do? Can you, for instance, in your master plan, do you have the right legally to contemplate having a minor league baseball team or a helipad or a rodeo or a boarding house? I mean, what can you do here?
Well, that's an excellent question,
that's
sir.
Right.
Excellent question. And if you don't mind, maybe we can just defer that to discussion items 6, because we're going to go into that in very exhaustive detail. Okay? And I'll give you all a kind of, Reader's Digest version of what these mysterious district agricultural associations are all about. That's technically the legal entity he's referring to here as our state, as a state agency. So we'll get into that, okay? But do you have anything else about media and current issues?
No, because I really think it starts there. I mean, yes, there are really issues here. I mean, is it appropriate to have 85 SFLs, or should you have more than 10 races, or is it right to have a farmer's market or not? But rather than getting into the contention at that sort of subordinate level, I think the intelligent thing is to start with a max macro approach to this, which is what can you do? What authority do you have? Here's this large piece that got a certain amount of history. I'm not personally satisfied that you're operating within your defined authority from the state or not. I don't know that to be the case. So
that's a perfect question for discussion. I am 6 in the term. Okay, thank you. Ma'am, you're next.
Yeah, my name is Betty Wojcicki, 215 Rancho Lane. And I would like to also appreciate, I'd like to say thank you for mentioning that the amount of races have been increased. And then with that, I would also like to say, I really feel that our neighborhood, it's not just us, it's not just my family, it's an entire neighborhood that is really and can be considered as collateral damage for our property values. And then with that said, I would also like to inquire as to how many of your board members actually live within our neighborhood. How many of you are there at 10:45 at night listening to the races? How many of you have had to work in your yard from 9 o'clock or 6:30 in the morning until 6 o'clock at night with the with the speakers blaring into your yard. And do you not agree that they're blaring and you're still quite a distance? And
some
of you guys have a really wonderful, pleasant family environment, and how pleasant is that with those speakers blaring into your yard? We can be considered your collateral damage. In that, when we signed up for this property, and I apologize, Michael, I do apologize for having mentioned, or will be mentioning, the fact that we have, excuse me, I'm speaking. Thank you. We have called before and have asked them nicely, please turn down the speaker system and limit its use to announcements only. But in that, we would like to mention that we were not paid attention to. In that we signed up for the 27 races. We knew that going into it. We knew as your neighbors we were going to be signing up for horse shows. We knew as your neighbors that we would be having some noise. We did not sign up for the 40 races. We did not sign up for the very loud music at the farmer's market. I call it flea market. And then we did not sign up for the barn. And, by the way, the speaker systems were updated, I should say, for the baseball. And I don't mind. I love to hear children playing and laughing and having encouraged lifestyles. I think that is wonderful for our community. But when it infringes upon the neighborhood of the people paying your taxes and your fees, we don't appreciate the fact that whether you're entitled, your entitlement from the state is one thing, but to be a good neighbor, the people from the fair shouldn't be throwing garbage over the fence. Yes, it has happened. The neighbors should be using the speaker system with less belligerence. And when I say that, it is okay that they use them for the announcements, but not on full blast. That is inappropriate, and the other thing I feel truly inappropriate is that they're facing toward the neighborhood rather than straight down. There should be a protocol. I'm giving you a solution now, and I probably am overstepping that in your agenda, and I apologize. But we need you to be considerate that we become the collateral damage. What if we want to sell our property? The first thing that we hear from people in the community, oh, I wear those faces. If we have been able to build or modify our homes in order that the noise is reduced, but not when you go outside. We cannot even invite friends over for barbecues during some of your horse shows and race nights.
Thank you, ma'am. Yes, sir.
My name is Alan Harriman. I live northwest of here, about a mile away. And I'd like to support Ms. Brazil.
Thank you.
Okay, what she says. So that will shorten my discussion here with you quite a bit. And the key words here are intrusive and inhumane. All right? I want the board to understand that. The last meeting regarding races I was at, I remember the number 27, excuse me. And that has obviously increased almost 100%. Around a few numbers off. And I would like the board to consider the community and the community to consider the fair. It's a positive for all of us, but if we have a fair, is it going to trample the community? And that's my big concern, because the response to my email, I know they were listed, but nobody ever contacted me about that. And that's enough said as far as I'm concerned. Any questions?
I'm sorry, sir. What street are you on?
I'm northwest of here. Okay, on
Paulston.
Okay. Mile away. And in the afternoons, as Mrs. Brazil said, it's devastating.
Excuse me? You can call me Betty.
Betty? Okay. Nice. Okay. So it's and the noise at 11 o'clock at night. And you're just right in our bed. Try sleeping.
Okay, thank you, sir. Who's next? Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
My name is Patricia Rodriguez, and I am the person who organizes and manages the farmers flea market here. And when I just wanted to let you know that I was born and raised here in Watsonville, and the idea of opening this event is because the majority of the Hispanic community that lives here, or as far as I can remember, I'm 41, and being a child, we always coming from, our parents coming from other countries like Mexico, or sometimes I know European families are used to having these outdoor markets that are popular and that they like. And for as long as I can remember, we always went outside of our community to these markets, whether it was the Berryessa or the Red Barn. And then later I started working, farming with my family and started selling at farmers markets. And I've been a vendor as a farmer at farmers markets for over 20 years. And I saw how a lot of these markets grew into something like what I'm doing here, where they added other vendors that would typically be called flea market, and how many of these communities benefited from having a family event where, it's a safe family event where everyone can go and have some fun. And not only that, but the economic part of it, the sales and business it brings to the community. So I felt in the recent years that our community has been losing business. If you look, downtown, Gottschalk's closed, which, I'd love to have, and a lot of our businesses are going out of business. So my idea of bringing this to the community was not, with an intent to bother or be a nuisance, was to bring the economic factor. So a lot of our local restaurants, which are here selling their food, a lot of local businesses would benefit from all of these people that go out and spend their money, that we would stay here and spend it locally with our business. And I feel I have succeeded in that, where we are not attracting many more people from other communities because they like our market, because I have spent the time in making it clean and making it safe. I hiring extra security to make sure we don't have any gang problems, we don't have any other problems that other events have in our community. And I strongly feel, because I hear it from the families that attend, that they're very happy that they can comfortably come here with their families and not have to worry about, violence or anything else. Now, just recently it was, mentioned to me, and I know when before Mr. Becky came in, maybe once or twice, John Skirfield, mentioned, okay, there's someone who complained about noise level. And at that time, I made sure, okay, we need to be, cautious with that and lower the noise level. And then so since then, for months, I didn't hear anything else, no complaints, until recently when Mr. Bethke started talking to me about that, and maybe in the last couple of weeks, saying, okay, now there's a major concern. Well, to me, I never had an event like this, so I didn't even know about certain, the numbers that they're reading for what's allowed, what's not allowed, so I informed myself. And I want to let you know that this last Sunday, I just found out about this last week, and this last Sunday I made sure that First Alarm had one of those meters or whatever they're called, sorry, I'm not familiar with them, to measure the sound levels. And I made sure that they were under the sound levels that I was instructed. So on my part, I just want to let you know that, I want to be responsible, and I don't mean to cause nuisance or, any problem with my event, and that I am more than willing to work with all the neighbors in controlling this. If it means that I take out the amplified music and we do acoustic or something, I'm more than willing to do that. My idea of being here with this event is not to bother or cause a problem. It's more to, benefit our community with something like this. So I just wanted all the neighbors to know that, since I was told recently about, before it was maybe once or twice that I was told, and then we lowered the music and I didn't hear anything for months, that I felt, okay, I guess we're doing okay now. And it's just been like within the last week or two that it came to my attention, no, this is a real problem. And, I was responsible to do something about it and have, First Alarm bring their sound measures be under what I was told. So from that, you know, I just hope that you can, you know that, like I said, I'm willing to work with the neighbors or, and make it to a noise level that you accept. Because I feel that, you know, the fairgrounds is, from what I see, an average making some money and some profit, and the fairgrounds needs to make money from events in order to sustain it. So that's something that we have to take in mind, that, you know, we need to have different events to contribute to the fairgrounds.
Yeah, I'm Pat Davidson. I live over on Peckham. I always say by the pie place. Everybody knows where that is. I really appreciate your cooperation on lowering that, and I'd just like to say I really support acoustic music, and it'd be great. And the closer you get, the better the music is. And I'd say maybe chuck the meter and just use your ear and our ears. And then I'd like to ask the board to dust off their copy of the Golden Rule. Or come hang out at our houses or something. I could complain about all the same things, but dust off that copy. That'll do it.
Hi, I'm going to just sit down if it's okay to talk. My name is Judith Ain, and I live over on Thompson Road, and I'm not quite as close. And my concern particularly is not as much the quantity of the noise as it is. It came to my attention that as these races they're getting faster and faster, the cars that are there, that there's some safety improvements to the track that have not been implemented, so that the people in the pit area are, that's a danger for them, and it's a danger for the people that are driving, that this fence along the pit area hasn't been improved with appropriate safety improvements. And so it reminds me, I have friends that race and work in the pit crews, and I'm just concerned that I don't want to wake up some Saturday morning and find out somebody died there. And I hope that the fairgrounds will address that issue and make the improvements that are needed for that fence.
Yes, ma'am.
My name is Barbara Anderson. I live right on the other side of the first house. And yes, the noise level is very, very loud, but I did buy a house that I just wanted to have to either go out to movies on a Friday night or whatever. Turn my volume up and pass. That's not so much a problem. It's sometimes they went on until 11:30 or 12 o'clock. I don't know. I wasn't here, or, you know, I just came in. So I don't know if that point was brought up, but I just would request that the noise, well, with the races anyway, end a little bit earlier and never go over a certain time. I mean, I'm okay with the races. The horse events, they are loud. Horse not as loud as the races, but, you know, it's a different kind of noise. And it would be wonderful if the music and the if the events, the horses are fine. I guess what I was saying with regards to the horses is, yes, I can hear the announcements, whatever. I love horses. I love everything to do with horses. I agree that any kind of events at the fairgrounds are money makers for the community. I think that's great. And I moved here knowing all this. I love horses myself. It's just that for me, it's the noise after a certain time with the races, and it's the bands and the acoustics would be better together for other events. It's the dust for me, because I'm so close. And the man who runs the races has been very, very cooperative. He's been trying to not only spray the track and the access to the track, but coming and going is right up the big ends of my fences. He's been trying to spray it at night before they leave, as well as people they arrive. And that's helped a little bit, but and I don't suppose there's an extra $30,000 to pay that price, but you know, going down to the races, but more market investment. So it's mostly the noise level after certain time. I don't know if other neighbors are here that have remembered this past year of what you're looking for one night.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
No argument there.
I'm David Ryan. I'm from Webb Road. I'm about a mile and a half away as the crow flies, but we're a little bit elevated, so we can certainly hear the noise. And I agree, we've been very late some nights. I mean, I just can't go to sleep. I think that's absolutely ridiculous. So my question is, two questions. One is, who do you report to? If we don't get an answer from you, where do we go? And the second thing is, what are the rules? How loud and how long can this music go on? And how many nights a year? Those are my two simple questions.
The music for what? The
any event, or any event. Any event. How late?
Well, that's another great question, sir. We'll kind of get into that when we go through the issues. Actually, in 5 and 6. Okay? So, stand by. Yes, sir.
So one of the other issues, as many people know, because they saw me handing stuff out, one of the issues is the potential of a rodeo coming here. And if you think the horse shows are loud, check out a rodeo. You can go to YouTube and look at videos of rodeos and see how loud they are. But noise isn't the only issue with the rodeo. Water contamination is another big issue. There'll be a lot more animals, and there'll be cows instead of horses. Cows are the natural reservoir of E. coli 157H7, the one that killed a bunch of people in 2006. And the studies show significant contamination of local wells and natural bodies of water. You guys, presumably many of you have well water, and the well on the fairgrounds has already become, one of the wells already became contaminated, and it's unclear whether this would actually contaminate further out. There are a number of other issues with the rodeo. You can go to a website called stoptherodeo.org to find out more. There are DVDs here. Ask me, I've got more of them, or literature. Also, unrelated to that, for a copy of this recording, I'll get it from her and put it online. So if you guys want to get the copy, go to stoptherodeo.org/neighborhood, and I'll put a link there. If you want to know any more, let me know.
Who's next?
My name is Jesus Voites, and I live off 215 Magdalena's going here. I just want to personify the fact that you will give us rules and regulations about the noise, the decibels, and the times they're supposed to cut off. And is there any training for when you have these small horse events, is there any training for the people using those the audio system? You know, you need to give people some type of training if you're going to allow them to use your facilities. You know, is that in place? That's what I'm interested in. Rules and regulations of the noise factors. What do you have implemented for the same kind of training for people who use your events? You know, if they're at 8 decibels at 50 feet, you know, you were here last Saturday or Sunday, and the lady announced real loud that she saw you, would you like to come see your bird's eye view of the event? You must have left around 3:50 and 3:30, because right after that, the noise level increased by about, sounded to me like 50%. You know, so that kind of tells me when management is in the area and not in the area, because people, they have a tendency of just cranking up their volume there.
That's for the horse show?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You were there this last Saturday or Sunday. Mm-hmm. I heard your name announced, and y'all made a big deal about you. No, that's what I'm saying, is that there's got to be rules and regulations that you're not following. You may be predicated by money, how much money you're earning, but that doesn't help us. Like Betty was saying, we're collateral damage. You earn all the money you want in the world. It doesn't help us a bit. You know, so what if the fair's view is wealthy? You know, they're abusing the neighbors. That's what I say. I feel abused when I'm out there at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning doing some yard work, and you have the flea market blaring on Saturday, Sunday, depending on what day it is. You have a horse event that doesn't have to have all 50 speakers on. You know, you have the races last night. You can tell when the main event's on, they uncorked the headers. The main events, I don't know who's monitoring that, but on the main events, they uncork the headers because it gets extremely loud in the main events. When you have the super modifiers there, they're running the 311s, but their headers port and the parameters, they unport the headers and it's louder now. Who's monitoring that? You guys may come in intermittently monitoring this. If you're not being diligent about it, you're being belligerent. I see you being belligerent when you don't monitor what you need to monitor. If you're making money on it, you need to be a little bit more, you need to manage your business better. You know, not abuse your neighbors. You know, like the golden rule is follow it, you know. That's what I have to say.
Well, thank you. Item number four here. Unless anybody's got any other. I'm going to get right to you, sir. I hear you loud and clear.
My name's Jesus.
Yeah, I know. Yes, sir.
Yeah, my name's Bill Covert. I lived near the fairgrounds since about 1948. And, so I'm fairly familiar with everything that's gone on over here. Basically the same as Jesus says. But, I completely agree about the neighbors that, I know I was quoted in the paper as saying Sunday is a rest day and such. Well, that's not what I meant. I meant every day anybody should be able to have a party. But when the party infringes on their neighbors, and they have to close their windows, shut their doors, watch out for crazy drivers on their roads, and such as that, they're infringing. I know they're breaking the law by the decibel count, and they're leaving garbage behind. You can see it after Sunday or something with all the cars out here. And just, I know you guys do a good job in cleaning up or trying to, but you can't clean up his yard and in front of my house. And such as that, and I know that I believe that everybody in here doesn't have anything positive to say about the noise, and that's coming up in four of the solutions. Is that where we're
at? Yes,
sir. Okay, I would like to start off on four by offering the solution of the decibel meter. It runs for the whole event, not just because I know. That maybe when Patricia's there, I'm not against Patricia, good for you, but I am against the intrusion of the noise, of the window rattling, of, you know, wanting to lay down. I'm a 100% disabled veteran, I need my rest, I try to work as best I can, but I gotta lay down and rest. I can't do that outside where I'd like to be, so, and it's because of the noise levels and just the frustration. Like I say, I've been back in this area for about 25 years now, and just seem to get worse and worse and worse. And, you know, until Max called me about this, I was just so pissed off, I didn't know where to go. I didn't stop, you know, I just, there it is again, there it is again. And I got a bad case of PTSD, and it sets me off, and my head goes wacko. But, I do believe if you can't contain the music to acoustical, I don't mean with brass bands or anything, but guitars or violins, something like that, that a decibel meter at all events and have a record of it so we can see, you know, and if they break it, they get fined $250. If they break it again, they get fined $300. And if they break it again, they're out the county fairground land, never to be come back again. Called undesirable. And that's one of the many solutions, but I think that one would cover it for everything from the racing to whatever. Boy Scout cavalry, I was here for that. So, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, my name is Janice Harrington, and I totally agree with Bill. And I apply this to neighborhood parties,
yeah.
Not just the stuff over here on Sunday. I apply it to any neighborhood party that is blasting you out of your house.
Yeah.
So you have our support.
Exactly.
Okay, good. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I just want to say one more thing about that. About 2 months ago, there was it was during the races, It sounded like, when you said the PTSD, yes. Yeah, I have a friend staying at the house with PTSD. And there was a blast that I practically dove into the bed myself. It was like a bomb went off. I have no idea what that means if you took something off a carburetor or whatever, but it was so loud that I thought, that's not the racist. We're doing that. It was unbelievable. I don't know if anybody else knew.
Our car got melted.
Do you remember?
It was the part of an event where a jet engine melted a car. Because I know the guy that likes to fall. I wonder what it was.
Anyway, I can't.
Okay, anybody else want to follow up on that? We'll go into the mitigation measures and the upgrades we're going through. A lot of them touch on some of the stuff you just mentioned. Like I just, you know, I'm not offering excuses, but I just became aware of a lot of the stuff here just in the last few months, and some of the stuff that I actually saw pretty much surprised me too. And what we're doing immediately right now is, as far as the loudspeakers down in the question area, we've already torn down and actually disconnected a few of the ones that I couldn't believe were actually were pointed and blasting right into people's backyards. Mm-hmm. I believe yours is one of them, right?
Right.
And what we're going to do is we're in the next week or two, we're going to actually, hopefully by next Friday, we're going to have the rest of them all disabled. And the problem we've discovered is that when different equestrian guests come in, they bring, you know, their own, sometimes they even bring their own equipment, and they're actually overriding some of the connections or disconnections we've been, you know, setting up on these speakers. And so we're going to kind of really, you know, look at how the existing system is all laid out so that needlessly, you know, some speakers are being activated and broadcast and stuff that aren't even, you know, addressing an event area, like the warm-ups, you know, the warm-up arenas or whatever. And I'll be happy, very happy to take, you know, any of y'all on a tour of the progress we're doing on that, especially the immediate neighbors. And then we'll do some sound checks to see if indeed that's helped immediately, you know, abate that noise problem. If not, we'll go to the next level. And then as far as events that bring in, you know, amplified music for their equestrian events, we're going to have to put more stringent restrictions on their contractual obligations, you know, that they have to agree to for everything that they do out here. So we'll put some stipulations in there. And one thing that this gentleman mentioned about, you know, having maybe some, you know, financial penalties for exceeding certain readings. Unfortunately, you know, what we found, at least what I found here recently, is that, you know, the fairgrounds had one decibel meter that been used sporadically over the past. And the problem with these, you know, Radio Shack type handheld decibel meters, they're very subjective that I've discovered. You know, if it's not set up right and the operator, you know, doesn't know how to, you know, do the proper calibration and readings, then you can get readings all over the map of these things. So I think part of the problem also has been even the meter readers that we've been using out here, whether it's staff or the first alarm security personnel that attended these events, you know, I think there's a lot of room for error in the actual operation and reading of these meters. So one suggestion we're actually following up on this right now is that there's firms, acoustic engineering firms, for example, that you can hire a third party neutral monitor type entity that'll come in and they set up very professional, you know, high tech and calibrated decibel meters within the prescribed setback area of 100 feet generally from the sound source. And they, you know, and they'll be engaged and contracted by the fairgrounds for special events. We're probably going to start off
with the farmer's market is the first one. It will have subjective, very sound subjective data from these meter readings over a prescribed period of time in the event, say every 30 minutes or an hour. And they'll have a printout of all those readings, and it won't be very subjective at all. I mean, some people arguably, you know, are affected differently by different noise levels. My wife thinks I'm almost, half deaf because I don't hear things that she immediately jumps and hears. And so we got that subjectivity of even the perceiver of noise level. This will provide for the fair and the public, public information that says, well, at such a date, here are the printouts of the decimal readings for that event. And once again, if they're exceeding, what's the mandatory thing, and we'll be providing actually the public what the prescribed parameters of the noise limits are. The Fair Board actually has adopted a policy of noise limits for both events inside of the building and outside, and the timeline when those events can occur. And that's a matter of public record. We can provide that to the neighbors. And so that's what we're going to be doing right now. Yes, sir.
Another suggestion, you might be able to have that same thing that you've described, but have the information show up online real time. It's quite doable, so that anybody here can just, when they hear a lot of noise, they can go and look online at the website and see the graph and see what it is and what it's been over the last hour or
day. Somebody will pay for the staffing, and we'd be glad to do that.
Right, I do now, acknowledge.
Staffing, pretty much, well, me and Mr. Scherfield right here right now. So.
That would be a bit more expensive.
Just comment quickly, too, on the decibel levels. You're absolutely correct that there's certain weighting that has to be done with decibel measurement to mimic what humans actually hear, and that's very scientific and very specific. I do certainly recommend, and I have before, that you hire a sound engineer. San Benito County tried to put in, or had motorcycle races for a few years. They were stopped by an injunction, and the injunction continued on to restrict their decibel levels to 82 dB, 50 feet from the sound source. So as a kind of guideline, as a suggested guideline, I would like to approach that in this petition, which a lot of people signed, also has some information as far as decibel levels.
Yeah, that was the Valero Park I'm very familiar with that. In case you all know, before in my former life, before I took this job a couple months ago, I was actually down in San Benito as their planning director dealing with that very issue and the resolution that we successfully got through that as well. So, yes, sir.
What is the standard of care? What do you see as the appropriate sound level here? And where do you derive that?
Well, we have appropriate and we have a standard.
What's your authority? You say that the board adopted a policy. And how do we know the people in this room know that that policy is fair, right, and appropriate? I mean, it's one thing to adopt it. Another thing to use the standard of care out there that says you have the right to do that. If you were governed by the county, what if you go to the enforcement officers, and we could just determine what the actual permissible decimal level is within the framework of the county ordinance, you're exempt from that. But by the same token, you have some higher authority that you're responsible to. Who says what the delegated authority is that allows you to operate certain events that have certain noise level? What is that noise level?
Well, I'll tell you right now, the delegated authority is the board of directors. We have three of them sitting here today, and they have a public hearing. These are all public hearings when they meet once a month, just like the board of supervisors. Those are public hearings. And they, I believe in 2006, correct me if I'm wrong, that was the last public hearing where they had a discussion, duly noted and posted notice. We'll get into that on whether that, that got out to the public. It probably isn't, should have got, But these are public hearings. And if members of the public, had a concern or issue, wanted to comment on the criteria that was adopted during that public hearing process by the then board of directors, then that's their, that's their opportunity. But if you think what's got adopted is not fair or appropriate, then there's a process where you can petition the board to revisit that
that policy and then reconsider those noise levels through a subsequent public hearing process.
Okay.
So that's the process, okay?
And I think part of the nature of what is appropriate or not is to look at, let's say, the context of other fairs throughout the community of California and ask the question, are you operating within what could be considered to be, you know, an appropriate set of standards that have taken into consideration the need and concerns of the community? I question whether that's the case.
Okay. And we'll get into that more here in the next discussion. So I'm sorry, go ahead, Frank.
What he was just talking about is, can that be put on the internet under Santa Cruz County site? And what the basic.
So the ongoing monitoring? Well, you actually, you know, that might be it. Well, that's a good segue into another. Well, we're going to get into that also because we're actually going to be, the board is actually asked and directed staff at the fair to proceed forward with a request for proposals from a reputable website providers to completely overhaul and upgrade our website. And so perhaps part of that request for proposals will be a criteria that we have a provision in the upgraded website for real-time online upgrades and updates of information out here. And so there's your opportunity to petition the board and the staff to encourage that be a parameter in the request for proposals for the consulting firm that they'll select hire to upgrade the entire website. Okay? See how the process works?
Sure.
So this is good stuff to get out here because right now this is the perfect time to get that information to the board so they can direct the staff and clearly spell that out in the outline of what we expect in a website consulting firm to upgrade the website. Okay, is everybody clear on that?
Yeah. Well, if all the events here run for profit, and if Ocean Chevrolet has a website already in place, and I know they do, why can't you force them to video stream or audio stream above and beyond their races, a decibel meter, the flea market? If they have, you know, you can couple the fees, you can add fees to them to force them to add this feature. The fair itself doesn't have to absorb that cost. You know, it's for profit. You know, they have to absorb the operational cost. So that everything, you can get an IP address for a one-day event, two-hour event, or anything. That's not a big dollar event amount. It's just the amount of having somebody expertise be able to input the IP address and put the meters out and video stream it. You know, so you're not talking a lot of money. You're just talking, it sounds like to me that you're sidestepping what you want to do and what you can't do. You know, I don't know. I'm just listening to you talk. You know, there's a lot of this stuff is real easy to do. And especially if you're charging these people to come in and hold events, well, charge them extra money to do that. So it's not coming out of the fair's pocket.
Yeah, and we're exploring those options too, sir. I assure you. For example, with the long-term agreement we're trying to negotiate with Ms. Rodriguez here in the flea market, or farmer market, you know, we're going to probably, you know, that's why we're kind of cautiously moving forward with addressing all these issues, making sure there's going to be monitoring measures in place, mitigation plans in place, and so we're going to be, in the next month, going through an initial study that typically would be required for, you know, big events like this, so we're also addressing any and all possible issues, whether it's
I understand that, but you have a captive audience when you have Ocean Chevrolet running. There's no other place they can run the races. They got kicked out of Santa Clara County. They got kicked out of San Bernardino County. They're out of Madera County. Santa Cruz County is the only place that they're able to come in and make money off. So you can. You can force the issue. You
know, and we have actually the operator here today, and my understanding, and having these very same discussions with him, is that he's taking a proactive stance in actually providing a monitoring system
coupled with the decibel meters that you need to put on. Right. What about the toxic the fumes that come out of that?
Right.
At different times, when they have the super modifies out here, but we're following maximum of that, because they live up on top of where I live, that's about 30 feet elevation, and you get this toxic fumes coming over the top. Now, is anybody monitoring that? The EPA coming in and monitoring those toxic fumes?
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah, I hadn't heard about that issue yet. We'll get to that.
Well, it would be nice if maybe you come, instead of you inviting us to your fair, you come and visit us.
Yeah.
During the obvious time.
I'll be more happy.
Coffee here.
Yeah, I'll be more happy. Yeah, I like just like my coffee black, so.
That's fine.
Yes, sir.
One of the things I want to address with the horse shows, and I totally understand the sound issues. We do have, and we do work with the people running the horse shows, we have adjustments to where the speakers actually activate. So they're not all activated at the same time. And if they're using it properly, they'll turn on all to make announcements. So those people that are coming up participate, and they go to the whole property of the horse show area, and then they switch it back to just the arena and just announce in the arena. So we've done our best to try to train those people and to have a system that doesn't just blare to the entire neighborhood.
My other question is, it's not Monday through Friday work week for you guys, and most of your events are on the weekends. Do you have management staff that are working Thursday through Sundays or Sunday through Thursdays?
We have
multiple shifts, or do you guys have a management personnel that are monitoring your business?
We have staff here during all of it.
But do they have the managerial right to say, hey, I'm going to shut you off if you don't shut this off in 10 seconds?
Yes.
You know, it doesn't seem like you do. That's why I'm asking that.
Well, they're there, and they monitor, and they talk to the people in charge, whoever's of that event, that one particular person. And they will go and tell them to turn the sound down and bring it down.
But every racetrack, every game, it gets louder and louder and louder.
We can't go to
the race. Something going on there. They're wise to when the management's leaving, and maybe the manager staying around isn't sufficiently highly trained or.
Well, I can't have them turn the races down. I'm not even speaking to the races, but I'm talking about the marketplace, horse shows, dances,
concerts,
any of that. We can go down and have the control of asking them to turn it down. It's a pretty tough thing to do.
But there's EPA standards, rules, and regulations. If they're unforking their headers, if they're emitting X amount of fumes that are toxic, there's rules and regulations. You're saying that you have no, your hands are tied. That's what I'm understanding, what you're telling me. You have nothing to say about what races and what goes on during the races. They just pay right to a check on a monthly basis and you cash in and you're done?
Well, what I was saying is to have them control the sound. That's not as easy as turning a volume control.
Well, no, it is, because if you have properly trained individuals from the state coming in and looking who's uncorking their headers, and what kind of fuel mixture you're running, then you have control over that. Because once you start implementing fines to that effect, you have control over that. Now, if you choose not to, turn a blind eye to that, or be negligent to that, and then, you have no control over that. So that's what I'm asking. Do you have that? Do you have that authority to do that, to hire a subcontractor on Ocean Ship Relays bill to monitor their noise factor, to monitor their pollution?
Just like Mike said, we were totally unaware and never heard the issue of fumes and smell.
Oh, Max and Paula have been doing this for years. Are you new to the area?
No, I've been with the fairgrounds for 4 years as deputy manager. If these things are going above me, I haven't heard. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, how many years ago have you reported that? Several years ago.
Years ago.
Yeah, so that's the statistic. Do you know who you reported it to?
I think part of the problem is, too, and I mentioned it in a letter, that management at that time was extremely uncooperative. That may have been, you were here when you bet Jordan was here.
Yes.
We ran into nothing but a block right there. She called me a liar to my face one time in front of the sheriff. When I came over there the next day after horse event, I went out to the lab at 1 o'clock
in the morning,
and I said, can't anything be done? She said, it didn't happen. What? So a great deal of...
Was that the one that was during fair?
Yeah, it was
during
fair.
I went up to in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I went in there because I camped down there during fair and told her, yes, it did happen because I was up all night.
I was with you.
It was a sheriff for me to leave town during the fair.
That's the question. Does the board know that any of this was going on? Was the board aware of any of this?
We have three board members here.
Particularly this last couple of complaints.
I certainly was aware of, because I had the same complaint when I drugged myself out of bed and after I finally got some sleep, you know, it went on until 2 in the morning, almost 2:30. And I went in there and said, "Yeah, what the heck is going on? Why is this happening in the middle of the night?" You know, and she said, "Oh, well, they don't go that late." I don't know where she was, probably home sleeping somewhere, not by here, but it did happen, and I was aware of it, and it never happened again. Yeah.
If I may, folks, you know, we're kind of segueing into, you know, our final discussions here about, you know, ongoing constructive resolution plans. And so, bear in mind, this is not the first and only neighborhood meeting we're going to have to discuss these issues. The goal here is to, you know, lay this on the table, you know, let our board members and staff hear these concerns, and now we're going to go back and meet with hopefully you all individually. And if you haven't done so yet, I know some new folks showed up. If you haven't signed in here on the list, by all means.
And here's a petition too. If anybody hasn't gotten
so what our real goal and outcome today is not to go away mad and upset, but to go away with a sense of engagement. And that you've been heard. We're going to be, you know, we're taking minutes actually and notes that we'll be providing the rest of the board and the executive director of affairs and expositions in Sacramento, who is kind of the ringleader, who at the state level oversees all the operations of the district ag associations throughout California. You got a burning desire, I see.
Yes, I do. There's a certain amount of measurement that has to be taken. I think that's been addressed somewhat. But we have some information that is pretty solid here. Amplified music. 110 to 130 decibels.
Could you stand up? Okay. Can you come, sir? Yes. Our scribe here. No. We need more DVDs there.
Okay. Yeah. You need my name again. Okay. Amplified music, it usually runs between 110 and 130 decibels. It's over 128 to 500 times a measurement called loud. All right? Think of that. 128 to over 500 of a measurement called loud. Now, the next thing. What damage does it do? No, from 4 to 30 minutes of exposure, you have hearing damage.
Permanent.
Yeah, that's it. And I think we, as a community, should be very understanding of what's going on. I mean, you just can't do it because it sounds good, it feels good. All right? That's it.
Okay, good. Well, so once again, you know, if you don't mind, we'll segue it into the resolution plans. And once again, we're taking all this into careful submission, and we're gonna probably one thing we'll do immediately is post this, you know, the minutes of this session and discussion. I know that's something you immediately post on our website. And if you all haven't, by the way, seen the most recent Band-Aid fixes we've done on the website, they look pretty nice. We kind of stole some ideas that the San Mateo County Fairgrounds uses and kind of spruced it up a tad bit. And we'll get this stuff posted on the website. Another critical and immediate resolution plan we can do is to make very clear what the line of communication should be for any neighbor who's aggrieved and has a concern issue, so that they're calling a direct contact person who can make immediate decisions and corrections. Yes, ma'am.
I would like to offer my phone number, because a lot of people here are saying, you know, I'm here on Sunday morning, and I know that your office is closed and no one's here. And I'm more than willing, like I said, to work with everyone with the noise levels, and if I'm able to, you know, I don't want, you know, in my mind, I don't want to completely take out everything I'm doing, because I know there's a lot of neighbors that are not here, you know, for whatever reason, I don't know why, but there's a lady that, for the raspberry, there's a house, a little raspberry farm just here down the road. I know she comes up on Sunday, she sings and dances and enjoys the amplified music and whatever we're doing. And I'm thinking, you know, to be fair to everyone, I would be willing to, I'm already in my plan starting this Sunday. We used to have 4 hours of music. We've cut it down to 2 or 1. So that's already a change that we're implementing in our event. And also, like I say, I'm willing to do maybe, you know, 2 Sundays out of the month, no amplified music, and hire, you know, bands that don't require it, like mariachi or other, you know, people that have come and performed for us who don't require it. But maybe then have, you know, maybe another 2 Sundays where we do have amplified music. But my husband was suggesting, so instead of having them on the stage, bringing them down to the ground, so it helps in following whatever measurement I'm giving. And then anyone that can call me just to make sure, because like I say, I've already made sure that first one who's there has the sound monitor and we are staying under what's required. So, you know, on my part, that's what I'm suggesting, that maybe we can have the opportunity to have the amplified music maybe twice a month, following the guidelines or whatever the number is that we have to follow.
Could I ask you a question?
Yes.
Why do you need amplified?
Some of the bands, and I think this comes down to being maybe cultural or whatever differences or preferences people like. In Spanish music, which is most of what the bands we have, there are some bands that, you know, they require that to have the full sound of, you know, whatever they need to hear and what they play, you know. But I don't know if the...
Okay, the problem is, mm-hmm. Where is your activity?
It's down at the platform.
Okay. Where does the music go?
The music is in the corner and it comes
this way. I'm talking about the music. Where does it go when it's amplified?
Go when you
direction.
It's in the corner and it comes out this way towards the entrance.
Okay. So the whole point of this, I think, discussion is where does the music go, how intrusive it is, and how is it impacting the... I think, in my presentation, I think we see the fairgrounds as a community entity that is positive.
Mm-hmm.
We want to keep it that way. When we have participants in that activity who are outside the room, okay, then it gets intrusive to the others. And that's what my concern is. When our operators, when you think about outside of their sphere, because that's where many of us are we important? Yes?
Yes, you are. And yes. Like I was repeating, okay. There are some ladies that are not here.
The point I'm saying is just, I don't know what you mean by that. Mm-hmm. Okay. The point I'm saying is you're seeing a few of us here in the community who want to take our Saturday off and tell the board or the fair management what the issues are. Are you willing to listen to those?
Yes, I am. That's why I'm here.
And follow through on the sensitivity.
Yes, and that's what I just explained.
When you go to amplified music, mm-hmm. That's the reason I ask, where does that music go?
Can I ask?
A mile away?
No,
those.
Well, I'm not.
A mile away.
I don't know.
I'm a mile and a half.
I wanted to clarify because where you were pointing wasn't really proper into where you are. They're at the lowest end of the parking lot down there, and their music, their speakers when they use them, point towards East Lake Avenue, so it points east. Basically,
well,
towards
that's fine. Yeah. That's fine.
I just wanted to clarify.
That's just opposite of my direction. So you can imagine how penetrating it is if it's pointed one direction and comes back 180 degrees.
Half mile from here.
Okay. Then you've got issues.
Yeah.
So just listen. Try to do what we can together, and that's all that I think all of us want.
Yes, I do too. And that's why I was saying that if I follow the number, then would it be okay with everyone?
No.
This lady here is anxiously waiting. Go ahead, ma'am.
I think everyone has the same concern and has a different viewpoint of what we can and can't do. And I appreciate the meeting that we're having here because it's been the ultimate gift of the board to do something about it. I think we need to simplify that and take everyone's concern, which I think is primarily noise, safety, curfew, the level of the noise. So all of that, everyone has been saying in a different form. Which way the wind blows and the music flows is another issue. I think because you have a very solid and strong format and protocol for who you can and how you can become a vendor at the fairgrounds, I think you need to have contractual legalities and update those legalities and who you're renting the fairgrounds out to, regardless of who the organization is, what the facilities are, and have consequences that are strictly enforced. And not simple consequences. While I agree with Bill that, yeah, we could have a tiered consequence on the first and second and third offense, I think that the first offense should be highly enforced with very large sums of consequences, monetary consequences. And that's the only thing that's going to do. You have a very strict policy about how you can become a vendor at the fairgrounds. It's pages and pages of rules and regulations and restrictions and all of those things. You need to put those kinds of rules and regulations in your contracts when you're renting the fairgrounds out. We're all saying the same thing. We can come up with 1,001 different resolutions from different viewpoints, who we are and how it impacts us. But I think you know what the basic complaints are here. There are four major complaints here that I've listened to and that has affected me as well. So I think you need to put that in a contractual form and enforce it. And I think you need, I don't know how you work with fairs and exhibitions in Sacramento or if that's the Department of Agriculture. I'd like to know how you work with them, who you work with. I'd like to know what kinds of communications that we have and with who that has some kind of responsibility and also has the authority to take care of our situation. So if we're going to open up lines of communication, it needs to be very simple. You can't have 100 people calling you back and forth every second and then trying to resolve those issues. You need to start with something very simplistic and that's in your contracts and address all of our concerns here and then enforce them with some kind of consequence. That's how I feel that can be resolved. So how you fine-tune those consequences would be up to you. And I think we need to be informed with status reports on how you're going about those issues, whether it's on your website or other forms of communication. We need to know who the board members are, who to talk to about what particular issues, and we need to be informed. So what exactly, my question is, what exactly do we do from here, and how are you going to enforce these issues and concerns and complaints that we have?
But let me get this lady first.
Thank you. I wasn't here earlier. Sorry, I had another commitment. But I'm just curious, what is the status of the fair's use permit or development permit for the activities that you're proposing or have to conduct?
Okay, well, that's going to be, well, that's, if everybody's finished, that's the perfect segue.
Okay.
Well, here.
And
you've been holding out here.
I have another comment.
Yes, ma'am.
Relevant to that. You know, I think from what I've gathered, everybody here is concerned about noise and operations. And, you know, in order for you to really determine what the appropriate noise impact is, you're going to have a noise study done. And the noise study is going to recommend mitigations, or they're going to recommend that certain things can't happen. And once you get that defined, then you can, you know, dial in the operations and the enforcement issues.
Yeah, in case you missed, we discussed earlier that we are retaining an acoustic engineering firm to do just that for all these events. He's been patiently waiting here.
My name is Mark Minkovil. I live on Massey Avenue. I've lived there off and on since 1952. Sharon and I grew up in the same neighborhood over there. But it does sound to me also that there's like four basic things. You got noise, toxic fumes, the pit area, and the times that all of these other things are occurring. But you got to realize, too, we got a compromise here because the Santa Cruz County Fair is a jewel of South County. And there are all sorts of community involvement events. There's all sorts of those horse shows are free. If you want to go down and watch them on a Sunday afternoon, you can just sit there and enjoy the day. There's all sorts of stuff to do here. So you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. You got to address your concerns, but be willing to compromise to a degree. Like maybe the different times that the things have to shut down or stuff. So, you know, hey, you go, I know it's going to be noisy from here to here. I'll go to Orchard Supply, you know, and I'll do my gardening a little later because I know they're going to be shutting down. But you have to enforce it then. You know, you can't say, okay, we're going to take care of it and run off and, you know, like that.
Okay. One last burning desire. Yes, sir.
Well, I just want to bring it up. I'm Jeff Rosendahl. I operate Sarah's Rule and live across the street for the last 22 years. And what hasn't been addressed here, and I've talked to Michael about this, he was gracious enough to take me aside at an event recently and tell me that there was going to be this meeting and there was a master planning process that was going to be coming forth. And
yes, Jeff, could you sound off?
Yeah. I live on East Lake, 22 years across the street at Sierra Zul. I'm Jeff Rosendahl. And so my concern would be for the future for any expansion in the fairgrounds for the master planning is proper traffic mitigation. Because I know that, for instance, for a graduation, it's a simple but essential, you know, graduation event that takes place in the spring, and the traffic will back all the way up for over a mile, you know, to the fairgrounds for could be 30 to 40 minutes, and this is a state highway. This is a major access route into our county. So I'm very concerned that the intersection down at Mulholland and College and 152 is not sufficient for future expansion of fairgrounds. And I'm not against fairground expansion per se, but I think it's very important that the infrastructure is looked at. And Michael said that, you know, the Transportation Commission would be involved in this and the Regional Transportation Commission. So I just want to you know, bring this up, that traffic on Highway 152 should be looked at as an important aspect of future expansion of the fairgrounds.
Okay, well, that's the perfect segue then to just wrap it up, the last discussion items here. To kind of go back to the big picture discussion, well, what is this entity? What is this strange state entity, the District Agricultural Association? Tell you the truth, when I first was appointed to the board over 4 years ago by the governor, and by the way, all the folks that serve on the board of directors are appointed by the governor's office, and the governor, I guess, himself is the third name. And what is that going to do with the county fair? Because I always thought this is a county, you know, owned and run operation. Well, it's not. If you see some of the signs, you actually enter in, it says, you know, right to travel on this property is subject to, you know, revocable control by the state of California. So it's a state, this is essentially a state entity. And there's about 58 separate district ag associations throughout the state. There are other county fairs that are different in that they are indeed run by a local nonprofit or local board of supervisors. Santa Clara County Fair. How many folks have been in Santa Clara County Fairgrounds? They're not like us at all. They're a county entity run by the county board of supervisors. Unfortunately, they now no longer exist. That fairgrounds is actually in the process of being sold off and developed and master planned by a group called Catalyst out of San Francisco for a new master plan infill development community. I mean, so unfortunately, the good folks in Santa Clara County aren't even have a fairgrounds anymore. That's all been sold off. And the argument at that time, you know, when they decided to close it down was the economic conditions that couldn't support it. As a state entity, you know, people think, well, then you must get, a ton of money from Sacramento to run this place. And so that was my first assumption. Well, how many know about the current state of affairs in Sacramento as far as our economy? Last I heard, we're still $20 billion in the hole, and our legislators up there still can't figure out how they're going to fill that hole. And obviously there's far more important institutions in California that rise to the top of the priority list as far as funding. Schools, obviously, they get automatically by the state constitution, you know, they get a mandatory amount of state funding. We've got these, incredible exorbitant fees to fund our state prisons, and all the way down the list. So we, I guarantee you, these state fairs, district ag associations, are on the very bottom of their priority list, and it's getting worse every year. We've been told by the governor's office to not really expect much of anything this next year, right? Because as far as the stipend, and the stipends they have provided in the past were very paltry. I mean, maybe $100,000, $120,000 for our respective fair. So absent, any funding directly from Sacramento, and the fact that we're still a state institution, we're governed by a locally appointed board of directors by the governor that then select a CEO manager to operate and implement the policies and programs that they approve, and then recruit the staff and to also assist in that matter. We have some incredible costs, albeit compared to others, but we're definitely not like the city of Bell in Southern California. I don't think you guys like anybody remotely making those kind of fees. In fact, when I took this job, I took darn near a $40,000 a year hit in my previous salary because of it. So I'm not here, for the money. I'm here because I really love this facility. After serving on the board for 4 years, I thought this was an incredible opportunity career-wise to take this now to the next level and make this a facility that we can, make sustainable as far as the activities here, and more importantly, the revenue that we can generate without impacting the neighbors to a certain negative degree now and in the future. And so, to that end, we're now embarking upon just now a new journey for this facility. We were the only county fair, state, DEA last year to apply for a master planning grant application for about $120,000. So of all the 58 DEAs in California, our board at that time decided to take a proactive approach and lead to instead of just living paycheck to paycheck and fixing things here with band-aids, bail wire, duct tape, which has obviously been the standard operating procedure for years, maybe decades. The board is now embarking upon an incredible new adventure, and the folks in Sacramento, the fairs and expositions, are really excited about us maybe being the poster child for how they want to see the other district ag associations master plan and build out their facilities, become self-sustaining with the minimal impacts to the community, and engage stakeholder groups. We've actually paneled 28 member stakeholder group of various folks throughout the community that are going to be involved in this master planning process. These are going to be public hearings. You're all going to be more than welcome to come to these stakeholder group meetings to start with our planning consultant firm that we hired out of Sacramento that specializes in fairgrounds and equestrian and exposition facilities. This group was the group that actually just recently went through the master planning process for the whole Cal Expo complex up in Sacramento. Has anybody been to Cal Expo or California State Fair recently? So, we're not going there, so don't worry about that. But this is a caliber of folks that, you know, that as far as professional planning and engineering and economic analysis are going to be working with our stakeholder group, and we've secured none other than the Honorable Bruce McPherson and Dan Porter Cooley to be our honorary co-chairs of this group. And we're going to actually kick off our first informal meeting the Thursday night of the fair this year during our hospitality night. And if anybody wants to actually come and meet some of these folks, we're going to actually have a list of names and contact information for them as well. And after the fair this year, we're going to really hit the road running for the next year. Hopefully by this time next year, we will have a pretty concrete outline of where, you know, with engagement and involvement of the neighbors and the stakeholder group, where ideally we'd like to see this place, you know, grow and build out for the next 10, 20, maybe 30 years. Similar to what a city or a county has as a general plan. You're all familiar with general plans. You know, it's kind of like the planning vernacular says, you know, they're like a constitutional blueprint for how that jurisdiction will grow and build out. You know, have very specific policies. You know, if we don't have it in place right now, you know, the concerns about how you implement controls on specific uses that we may not even foresee at this point. But those will all be in place to anticipate these, these expanded uses we have now or uses that are right now unforeseen. And this goes for both the on-site conditions and as Jeff noted, the off-site, you know, and so because everything, you know, this is like a yin and yang thing, you know. If you do something here, it's going to affect something over there. And so all this is going to be comprehensively analyzed. And as we conclude this this master planning process next summer, and we receive all the comments from the community, and we have concrete constitutional blueprint, then pretty much ready to go and be adopted by the board. What's going to happen after that? Just as with a general plan that a city or a county would adopt, we're going to go into a full-blown program environmental impact report. So we're going to secure an additional grant that the state guaranteed us for the subsequent year to complete, for that following year. Hopefully it won't take a whole year, but we're going to do a full-blown program EIR. And that would be then the opportunity for anybody and everybody to say, like Ms. Rosedale said, well, that's all fine. Well, what about this off-site condition here at the Olahan College 152 intersection? What are you going to do about that? And so with any program EIR, if you address a significant impact that your use is going to create, then by God, you've got to come up with a mitigation measure. And the mitigation measure could be something as simple as, for example, the noise issues we've been talking about. Well, then, by God, you have in the contract that the requirement that an independent acoustic engineering firm be on site during the activities of that use, and they're there to monitor to see whether that noise exceeds the accepted parameters that will be done at that time if they're not acceptable today. Or, for example, we got impacts out here with people piling up on the 152 and causing traffic congestion problems to get in here during peak event times. Well, a mitigation measure may be, maybe perhaps some widening needs to be done on 152, working with Caltrans, and maybe a stoplight is in order so that we have a controlled intersection out here. So these are all going to be addressed, and this is going to be, the community's opportunity, your neighborhood opportunity to weigh in all these issues and concerns so that by the time the general plan is adopted, the master plan is adopted, the program EIR is adopted. And by the way, these EIRs are also reviewed by all applicable, counties or state agencies that want to offer, comments, concerns. For example, even though you're not subject to the county
rules in jurisdiction as far as land use issues, they still have a legal option to submit their comments. And our planning consultant firm and engineering firms, are obligated by the California Environmental Quality Act to hear those concerns. And if there are thresholds of impacts being proposed, then how do you gonna propose a mitigation measure to resolve it? And otherwise, you can't do it. We're gonna be faced with legal challenges right and left. So what this is gonna do is go through a formal process to address maybe rights and wrongs we're going through right now. And this is gonna be the community's opportunity to really be engaged and involved in that process. And I can rest assured the board's already given us this direction. The new website we'll be setting up will have real-time ongoing updates on this master planning process as well. So, if you can't make it to one of these stakeholder meetings, you can click on the website and find out what are they talking about this time, And then if you got some additional comments, you can weigh in, click in, your contact info, weigh in. And once again, those will be taken into submission and they're pretty good suggestions, legitimate suggestions. We'll pass that on to the consulting firm and staff will review that and incorporate that, in the final product that we're going to be producing in this new master plan. And ultimately, the goal is maybe I may sound, making like a hopeless optimist here, but what we want to do in this process, this is my career goal as I kind of fade out in my 30-year career now as a planner and builder, is have in a couple of years a blueprint that not only we can be proud of how we're going to own and operate and develop this gem of the fairground, but we can hold it up and show the entire state of California, this is the standard, this is the new bar everybody else should be shooting for. So neighbors and, at the big Fresno Fair over there, on the hill, can say, yeah, why can't you guys do like Santa Cruz County, the 14th District Ag Association? The folks up in Nevada City, yeah, well, why can't you guys do like these guys do? So we're going to be, to me, this is an exciting process. So I think that's about all I want to say. Russ.
How do we have them
on the board? Yeah. Well, the fair board, and the agenda is just like, just like.
Yes,
sir. A lot of that stuff's on there right now. Obviously, it's hard to probably negotiate and get to, but we're going to upgrade that too. So, the question was, the fair board meetings. Once again, this is a public entity, and as citizens, you have every right to be engaged in these meetings. And I apologize if you've been remiss in not getting, the meetings or the agenda posted as widely as informatively as possible. We'll work on that. And it's posted in the newspapers all the time. If you want to just, mark your calendars for the next year, the third Tuesday, 1:30.
Except September.
Except September.
Yeah, we're not meeting in September because we'll be running the fair. So, yes, sir.
The stakeholder meetings, the beginning of the management planning process, is going to take place independently of the board meetings.
Yes, sir.
Correct? And when does that process start?
Well, we're nailing it down. That's just the beginning right now. The first meeting we have set up is just a kind of informal meeting for everybody to get together during the fair, during our hospitality night.
The stakeholder group that you're talking about is from 30 people or those chosen from?
Well, staff went through, and looked at, various folks. For example, the traditional stakeholder group of the facility here are folks involved in, say, for example, the Farm Bureau. So we have Jess Brown, who's the director of the Farm Bureau. The current users, like Mr. Prentice, who runs operation for the Speedway. That's obviously a stakeholder group. Elected officials, say, for example,
Mr. Tony Campos, the supervisor for this district. Other folks, for example, Watsonville, we want to draw Watsonville more. So we have the executive director of the Economic Redevelopment Agency, Marty Ackerman, on the stakeholder group. So we're trying to engage in the horse, you know, horse people. Various horse people are going to be involved representing the horse equestrian industry. And so that was the intent, to get as many local, actually, we're all local neighbor, Nita Gistich, you know, as a fellow neighbor, you know, is going to be on this as a farmer and, you know, and a local neighbor representative. So
what about community members?
Yeah, has anybody been invited from this group?
No.
We got two more spots, if anyone draws straws, because I want to cap it off at 30, you know, and see me after the meeting. And so, yeah, we do have a couple community people and elected officials. For example, we have two mayors, North County, the mayor of Scotts Valley, Jim Reed, wanted to be involved, an elected official. And Sam Story, who's the current mayor of Capitola, wanted to be involved. But more importantly, he wanted to be involved as the executive director of Community Bridges, because they're a stakeholder, because they run the little school out here for the farm worker the students that have been there for a while now. So he's a stakeholder in that interest. Once again, now that we have a standing neighborhood group, I'll be more than happy if you guys want to talk amongst yourselves. I know Ms. Rosendale and I have been in discussion, so being as he's an immediate neighbor, pretty large stakeholder here right across the street, you know, I'm sure he's got a lot of spare time on his hand to jump into this as well.
Somebody more fired up than me.
Yeah. But once again, that's up to you all. You know, we'll defer to you all on that, okay? Right? Yeah. And then you'll be formally invited to the little hospitality meeting we'll have out there. And so,
are you going to circulate the contact list that was formed here?
Yeah, we're going to, hopefully everybody got signed in. What we'll do, we'll compile a little a minute synopsis of what happened. We'll attach copies of that. And if you got email addresses on there or mailing addresses, we'll get that disseminated out here this next week. Okay? And also be posted on the website. Okay? Yes, ma'am.
Can I ask Patricia Rodriguez, forgot to give us your cell phone number so we can contact you?
235-1856.
And I think you could tell by the comments that we would prefer not having any amplified music at the farmer's market. I understand that you like your music and it's wonderful and it's a great opportunity to party, but not at our expense.
But, you know, the other part of it is I feel that all of us involved, I think the majority of the noise is kind of, from what I hear, is the races, or especially the hours. You know, my music is played between 3 and 4. Or
no, it isn't. No. It starts at 9 in the morning. I've monitored that over the last
sometimes
year.
Sometimes it's just you, but not the amplified music.
Well, it's enough that I can hear it.
Well, I can take care of that. Like I say, I'm willing to take care of that. And I offer to only have it between maybe 2 and 4. So I feel that...
Well, that's too much. We don't want to be blasted by somebody else's party. If my neighbor next door was having a party with that kind of noise, I'd first go knock on the door and say, gee, do you think you can turn it down? And hopefully he didn't realize it was done. And we'd turn it down, and he has. But the next step is to call the sheriff. Because that's not right. You want to have a party, you have a right to have your party. But your right to have your party stops at the fairground border. Because if it inundates all the rest of us, even for an hour.
I understand, but then on the other hand, like I said, my event is not the only one causing noise.
That's beside the point.
No, but I'm saying, is that going to happen to everyone else? So then race noise is going to stop because everyone's just mine.
No, not everyone.
Okay, here, let me wrap this up here. We're going to be addressing this, as we already noted, with an initial study that's going to start with the third-party acoustic monitoring. And so we'll be reporting that as well. So I think the most important thing we want to conclude with is, scheduling, subsequent meeting. My suggestion would be, let's review the information we're going to be assimilating and the contact list, for the next couple weeks. We'll enjoy our annual fair this year, which, by the way, is kicking off on September 14th. And then we'll go through the fair this year. And what I'm sure, I'm speaking on behalf of the board and all our staff, please go through the fair this year. Come out here and note things that you think are working. Obviously, things that are not working and could use improvement, whether it's both on site or off site. And then when we had our second meeting sometime after the fair, then we can start from there. Find out where we want to go next. And at that point, I'm hoping to have the planning consultant from Sacramento attend that meeting, so they'll get an earful of the concerns and issues that they're going to be assimilating and digesting and incorporating this master planning process as well. Yes, sir.
And possibly you could have apprentices and horse people and have them invited to the same meeting. That way people could talk directly to the people that are carrying on.
This your question is right here.
These folks that want it, they want to work with y'all. Nobody's here saying that, heck with it. Everybody's going to start being involved in the stakeholder group. Yes, ma'am.
First, I just would like to thank all my neighbors for showing up and voicing their concerns and doing it in a very respectful manner. And I'm very happy about the fact that I heard you correctly, there will be some transparency about what is happening. It will just be happening behind closed doors. So thank you for the website. Is there somebody here who's taking minutes, by the way?
Miss Bill Dora Akimoto right here.
Yeah,
and by the way, she's a neighbor as well.
Okay. Wonderful. If you're putting, if you're going to be getting that website up and running quickly, I would love to have some kind of a schedule. Since we haven't really taken care of the noise problem, can I at least know down to the hour when it's going to happen so I can plan around it? A barbecue or something, so that I don't have to be competing with the noise until that time. But we are able to
process
it forever. So from now until Christmas, is there, can I know? And she says, this nice woman, I'm sorry to catch your name, but Patricia. If you say 2 to 4, then next Sunday, I will know 2 to 4 to go to Orchard Supply, like you said, or whatever it was. not 9 to 10. I'm having my family over for brunch on my front porch. I don't want to be yelling to feed them. And I'm also kind of embarrassed to come over, at all hours. So as long as I know, I will work around it. So if you have a way to post that on the website, everybody else would like that?
We've already agreed to that.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
To me, it's completely unacceptable. It's unacceptable for someone to tell me, close your windows, close your doors, don't go outside for 2 hours, stay in your house and shut up. I'm sorry, go to San Jose, go to a movie. I just don't agree with that philosophy. I don't think the noise should be so loud in the first place.
Okay. I would like to, everybody that got one of these, I would like to thank Max and Paula and their hard work to get us all out. Otherwise, we would have had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
And they did a lot of work. Yeah.
Well, I promise everybody we'd be done by noon. So let's have a discussion about, a date. These Saturday mornings is time work for most folks.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you want to kind of set a Saturday after the fair?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody got a preference?
We do once a month.
75. Yeah. So that would be. Right. So maybe the first Saturday after the fair. What day would that
25th.
October 2nd.
First Saturday in
October. Yeah. How does that sound? October 2nd. Does that sound like a good time for those folks?
10 a.m.
In the same What will be an Indian summer by then?
That'll be hot.
Are you having a carry-in? Yes, ma'am. Yeah. This seems, and hopefully this is okay if people can hang out and view the incredible history exhibits here. You know, enjoy some goodies before you leave. And once again, just on behalf of the board and staff, really, really, really appreciate you taking your valuable time out and coming
idea.
Down here. Okay.
So I've created a web page. If you go to stoptherodeo.org,